You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside with Miles. We have no Tory today, but together, between just Miles and I, we have over 60 years of experience advising on and brokering the metals. And each week, we will try to provide a technical analysis of the metals charts, cover the underlying fundamentals, and also the news that moves and predicts our markets. So today, Miles, can you bring us up to speed on a recap from last week?
Yeah, let's kick off our normal weekly update. Starting off with gold, gold is up 3.5% this week. Everything's going to be a little different than last week, except for one thing, the S&P, which is continuing its tear. But gold has reversed. It is now up 3.5%, as mentioned, currently sitting at 4,700. And we are going to dig into that gold chart here in a few minutes as we're looking at some of the trading ranges back and forth. But before we do that, let's move over to weekly on silver. Silver, holy smokes, guys, up 8.3%. So a pretty solid week on silver after a pretty big decline last week, currently sitting at $77.55. Platinum, it gets a little bit better. Platinum up 9.25%, so a little over 9%. Back up over $2,000, which seems to be the line in the sand for platinum, currently at $2,055 as it continues to dance around that $2,000 mark. And not to be outdone, platinum's kid sister, palladium, is also up not quite as much, 6.3%. Still not a bad week for any investment, 6% in a week. And it's back over $1,500, so $1,538 on palladium. As mentioned a second ago, the S&P continues to climb up another staggering over 3% this week, which is a lot for the broad market index, the S&P. Currently sitting at 7,365, and with everything else up, as you'd probably expect, Rob, U.S. dollar is down 1%, sitting just barely above 98 on the dollar index. So, Rob, where do we want to kick it off this week?
Well, let's talk about the open interest in gold over at the COMEX, and there's also a point I want to make about the open interest in silver, too, but let's start with gold.
Well, I know with the open interest, what you're looking at is basically outstanding contracts. Contracts that have been purchased one way or the other that just haven't been closed out as of yet. You tend to see that number rising over time as interest is not interest money, but interest, psychological interest in a particular market is increasing or decreasing. You'll see the open interest number start to decline. So certainly we go back to like January, February, March, open interest, as well as just volume. The number of opened or closed contracts throughout the course of the day was significantly higher. Not surprising to see it come down over the last couple of months as the panic in the metals market has calmed down a little bit. So we have seen it sort of leveling off here through April and certainly into May. But Rob, it sounds like when we were talking earlier today, you're starting to see some expectations potentially the other direction.
Yeah, and when you look at what's happening with gold, and again, opposite of what's happening in the dollar, a few days ago, when you look at the dollar, the publicly held U.S. national debt has now surpassed 100% of our GDP. That's the first time since World War II. Now, that's not the combination of money that the government owes to itself. This is money that they have borrowed from other countries, from the Social Security Trust Fund, etc. And that represents real pressure on the dollar as interest rates will continue to rise and create more of a debt service. And on the flip side of that is gold. And I think we can look at the charts that you pulled up. Gold is actually trending lower. It's possible that we could see kind of a pennant formation in gold. Not really sure that we are. But if we look at the overall trend line, gold needs to go back up over 4,800 to breach the declining trend line down that your charts are showing. You know, we're at 4,700 now. We just don't know what's going to happen direction-wise short-term for gold. I think long-term, we already know, I think we're going to see gold move higher. But that's not what this is all about. It's for people sitting on the sidelines, what can they expect? What do you think the charts are showing?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. Following what we had happen here at the end of the year, beginning of this year, obviously we have a period of explosive growth followed by this corrective period. And I think I have an equal number of clients right now who are either in a position where they're looking at taking some profit from some gold they might have bought 10, 20, 30 years ago, that they're just, hey, in retirement, going to pay the mortgage off, got to buy a new truck, you know, the usual reasons you dip into savings. And they're kind of sitting on the sidelines hoping that we see prices start to inch back up towards some of the highs we put in earlier this year. And then on the flip side, I also have probably an equal, maybe a few more clients who are saying the opposite. Hey, is gold going to come down anymore? I'd like to pick up a little bit more metal if we see that price get down to $4,000, $3,500, even $4,500, just a slightly better buying opportunity. You know, we're not seeing the rampant fervor one direction or the other right now, which you expand that outside of just our client base as a company to the country and the world. That's exactly what everybody's doing. And that's why we're seeing this sideways consolidation trading pattern, because neither of those two groups of people have gained the upper hand to push the direction one way or the other. And therefore, we're lacking in my favorite M word of the year, momentum.
Momentum.
Correct. We brought up the open interest issue a minute ago.
Yeah, and that reflects sentiment. Gold is interesting, and it is very different than silver. It does look like open interest is expanding in gold, but the silver market is changing from a contract market into a physical market. So you see open interest in silver falling, but the drawdown of COMEX and LBMA inventories as the metals move from London and New York and move east. So silver definitely is turning into a physical market. And I think you'll see the same thing with gold. Gold's a much bigger market and people have to cover themselves, and they use contracts to do that.
Well, and in certain places, you're also still seeing some delivery delays, some of which is obviously dating back to the sheer volume of global transactions earlier this year, getting caught up on that. But it shows that there's still some pretty aggressive buying pressure coming, especially, like you said, out of Europe, out of the United States, into places like India and China, where you're seeing kind of a transition of that type of wealth moving that direction and increased hunger for it. I mean, we had a chart on our show last week, just the massive buying pressure in China right now.
And it's real. And I don't see that changing. Not only did they take delivery of a record amount of silver last month, they continue to allocate to gold as an alternative funding or collateralized mechanism, offsetting and competing with U.S. treasuries and U.S. dollars for collateralized assets. So this is continuing, regardless of what happens in Iran.
Yeah, I believe March was China's largest import of silver ever in a single month, by almost double of any previous month over like the last 10 years. You know, normally you're looking around 400 tons on the top end, maybe around 150, 200 tons on the low end. And in March, they pulled in over 800. So there is still a voracious appetite, which is certainly holding that price up.
It's almost enough to turn me into a silver bug, but we'll see. Silver has a real fight on its hands. When you look at your silver chart, you know, you've got a declining bottom line and an increasing top line. The way you and I are looking at that, silver could go either way in the short term. I think long term silver is going to do fine, but it's calling it in the near term that's going to be so hard.
Well, let's transition over to some charts then. And in order to better explain the silver chart, I want to start with the gold chart because it's a little bit more simplistic. You know, we've got listeners out there that may or may not already be clients of McIlvenny Precious Metals. Certainly, if you're not, we encourage you to head on over to our website to learn more about the company. You can find us at McIlvenny.com, McIlvenny.com. And for those listeners out there, the vast majority who are existing clients, certainly my clients personally that listen, I know that's been a big frustration for them is, hey, I'm on the potential buyer or the potential seller side. What's the timing here? And for me, Rob, I look for consistency and momentum. You know, where we start to see things swing one direction or the other. I don't buy and sell based on trend lines or fibs or RSI. That doesn't determine my exact buying or selling positions in any asset class, but they definitely help you get a feel for how the market is trending one direction or the other and which particular market has momentum at the time. And where would you expect to see people willing to place bets in mass? Because what moves the markets is a lot of people doing the same thing at the same time. So where are the types of places you could see that happen? So if we start out kind of looking at the gold chart here, going back just since the previous high, gold market here going back through 2026, we had our big run-up. We had a epic crash at the end of January, thanks to China and the CME group. But gold had a really nice bounce up. It failed to return to the trend. Yeah. You know, it fell short of the previous high, and then it turned around and gave us a nice lower low. So we had one lower high and one lower low, a consecutive of each. It's a parallel decline. You can draw a really nice trend line there. You can add in some fibs and see it's been bouncing the Fibonacci levels nicely. It's working its way back towards moving averages, and it gives you kind of an idea of what the trend's going to be. Now, the problem is we're still stuck in no man's land in between the top end and the low end of that trading range. And in order for gold to argue that this downward-facing consolidation period is over, we're going to have to do one of a couple things. We're going to have to get above the declining trend line on the top end, because that is going to be a line in the sand where sellers of those futures and options contracts are going to be willing to place short-term sell trades in hopes that they get a little swing down. So we're going to have to push past that. Then we're going to have to push past that first failed high. So if you go back and look at where it did fail to return to the previous trend, which is going to be back kind of at the end of February, we peaked out at like 5,400. We're going to have to get above that number. And then the likelihood that we get above that number, we're probably going to get past the third piece, which is the ultimate high, and start marching towards new territory.
First, we got to break 48, 4,900. And we're not far from it now.
Yeah, we've got to break that first trend line. Now, I think there's a good chance we hit it, especially a day like today with gold up $150 in a single day. But this is where I highly encourage people not to get hard stuck focused on the small moves back and forth. I know $150 mm-hmm. feels like a pretty massive move in a single day, but you have to look at the entire big picture, the whole trading range in general, and you start looking for where are these next key important breakpoints on the top end or the bottom end to where it'll start to signal a momentum shift one direction or the other.
And it's possible that, you know, war could break out again in Iran and we drop back down.
Or up.
Talk about momentum. If there is momentum, it is exactly inversely related to good news or bad news coming out of the Strait of Hormuz in Iran.
You know, I do get this question a lot. I'm sure you do too. Hey, there's war in Iran. Why isn't gold going up right now?
Good question. That's a good question.
A big part of that answer to me is, again, what causes a market to go up or down? If a market's going up, it's because there are more people buying than selling and vice versa.
No way.
And the reality is the biggest buyers of precious metals are governments, not people. Mm-hmm. And when war breaks out, governments may not have savings money. They may have build more bombs money.
Or if their ships are stuck in the Strait of Hormuz, they may need money.
Exactly. They may need liquidity to cover oil imports from other mm-hmm. countries because their oil tankers are stuck waiting their turn to get through the strait. So Yeah, you got to factor those things in as well. And when a government has to start turning their pitchforks into swords, those investments get diverted elsewhere. If you have a very expensive month, maybe you tone down the savings that month. Governments do it too. So it's not surprising that you see at least the immediate knee-jerk reactions that may be somewhat counterintuitive. So, and I think that's why we're seeing a very defined trading range within gold. As big and volatile as it may feel, it is sitting within pretty defined ranges and holding to other charting indicators like Fibonacci and RSI and moving averages.
Well, if today is an indication that somebody sitting on the sidelines decided, the heck with it, I'm just buying, we'll see in the next few days if that is going to continue. Because if there's a big buyer and they're just saying, I'm in, regardless, they're not trying to wait for the lowest price, maybe this is an indication of a trend change, but I'll know it when I see it.
Well, and when the tide changes, all the other ships get moved too. And it takes time for that to play itself out. But shoot, Rob, we were talking about the tide changing a year ago, not 6 months ago. It was a year ago. It was a year ago when the LBMA out of London was 8 weeks out on delivery that normally takes 3 to 5 days.
Yep.
It took 6 months for what the big guys are doing to fully translate itself into the price in the market and the fervor of the general public. So there's always this 6 or 9 month lag behind the actual move taking place. You know, the earthquake happening offshore, and then a few hours later, the tidal wave finally hits the beach. The same thing happens in markets too. So we saw it happen last year. If we see the open interest start to rise slowly over a period of time, you're going to start to see that translate itself back into the market. So I think it's great when you have something like gold, which is actually, from a charting perspective, acting very normally and following a pretty clear, defined pattern. I like when things are somewhat relatable and understandable. So let's throw all of that in the garbage, because now we have to look at the silver chart.
Wow, it's hard to make sense of silver, Miles. I'm inclined to be bullish based on what I know with the drawdown in inventories, the huge spike in physical delivery. But I can tell you right now, there's a lack of open interest at the COMEX for silver. So people are not playing the paper game. The buyers are taking delivery. And I think that matters. I do look at guys like Michael Oliver, and he's been pointing to not only fundamentals, but technicals, and he's really betting heavy on silver. So we'll see. I kind of lean in that camp. But, you know, it's like I said many years ago, when a guy asked me, well, how come I didn't like silver, because he thought silver would be the same as gold one day, and I just started laughing. And he goes, young man, I don't think you know your job. And I'm going back almost 40 years ago. I was just a young junior broker. And I said, yeah, I like silver just fine, but she's like a blonde in a convertible looking for a good time, and gold's the lady down at church that I want to marry. And I look at the fundamentals, and I look at the technicals. Miles, show those charts, because it's a head scratcher.
Yeah, talking about open interest. So here's a little bit of a difference. When you look at the CME Group's open interest on the silver futures, like you were talking about, it's much more up and down than gold is, which is a little bit more gradual on the decline to kind of flattening out here over the last couple of weeks. But we're a couple months out from the big run-up in silver. But back just a couple of weeks ago, at the end of April, we were putting in new highs on trading and open interest on the silver futures. So the silver market is still getting a lot of attention. Now, the attention is significantly less. It's a fraction as much traded in silver as there is gold, but there's certainly a lot of focus there. Now, I look over at the charts, keeping in mind the discussion we just had about gold, where we have a high, a low, a high, a low, it's stair-stepping down, it's a really clear pattern. The problem with silver here is we had a high, and then we had a low. Then we had a high, then we had a lower low. Great, just like gold. But that all happened in the course of about a week. Then about a month later, we put in both a higher high and a lower low. Instead of having this nice, straight, top and bottom parallel decline, or even one of our favorite things that definitely pushes you towards breakout one way or the other, what we call a pennant. This looks more like the end of a trumpet, where you got the highs getting higher and the lows getting lower. And now we're trading in between these two numbers. So there's a number of different ways that you can look at the silver chart right now. But unfortunately, that means we've got a ton of interim pricing levels where if you're looking at making a buy or making a sale, any of these positions inside this trading range could end up being the last time we see that high for a long time, or the last time we see that low for a long time. Until it starts to really figure out which of these trading ranges it wants to fit itself within. So I'm looking at silver anywhere from 48 to 56 to 68 to 80 to 89 to 110. Like all of those numbers mean something on either the top end or the low end versus gold. If you're going up, you got to get above two or three numbers. If you're going down, you really just got to get below one. It will be interesting to see as gold and silver figure out where they're going in this consolidation period, which direction and which way they're going to start to build up this momentum and start to position itself within certain trading ranges over time. But frankly, guys, we're not there yet. So, and I would be very hesitant just from a pure charting perspective, anybody out there that's hard claiming that silver has topped out or hard claiming that silver is just about to jump up to astronomical prices, beware of what kind of snake the oil is made out of.
Because there's a lot of people out there pounding the silver drum, and I like silver, and I am cautiously optimistic, but like you said, we've got to see some momentum.
And ultimately, you're really looking at anything below a high of about 96 and anything above a low of about 60. So you're talking about an over 50% trading range between 60 and 90. And anything in between those two numbers has not given us a defined signal of long-term bull market continuation or extended consolidation into maybe a bit of a sell-off before we rebuild a bull market in silver over the next couple of years. So I think this is where you have to get back to the key of consistency. You know, small, consistent, correct decisions are always the better choice versus hoping you make one massive decision correctly. The staggering thing about silver right now is because it came up so much so fast, a lot of that extra price tag has been eliminated because of what the cost of actually acquiring silver today is. Specific silver, circulated Peace and Morgan silver dollars, junk silver, certain bars, numismatic gold coins right now are staggeringly cheap compared to other years. And traditionally, when you see the end of a bull market, at the end of a bull market, premiums tend to extend far beyond the metal itself. So we're not seeing that happen right now. So those of you long-term that think gold and silver are going to stay in their bull market, yeah, of course it is. It's just, what are we supposed to be doing now in the interim? And my argument is be looking at the right product at the right price within this trading range. Talk to your advisor at McIlvaney's office. We can help get you there.
Yeah, because you can buy those old dimes and quarters minted back in the 60s and 50s made with 90% silver. You could actually purchase that below the spot price right now.
Mm-hmm.
Silver dollars you can purchase at 1% or 2% over their melt value right now. There's some really good buys in silver. If you have to have bright and shiny, okay, we do bright and shiny as well. But the older stuff is being sold at ridiculously low premiums, and we've seen premiums on the old 90% dimes and quarters 30 and 40% over their melt value. You can buy them now less than the spot price per ounce. So not bright and shiny, but what a good value.
Yeah, going into some of this more circulated grade, right? Not sealed, not certified, but just lower end circulated grade, quarters, dimes, dollar coins. You're not looking for the big home run swing on something like that. But like Rob said, shoot, I'll take a 30% premium above silver and swap that into 100-ounce bars at some point down the road. I'm up 30% in ounces. Who cares what the price is? Shoot, if the price goes down, I get a tax break. Imagine that, turning 1,000 ounces of silver into 1,300 ounces of silver and taking a capital loss on it. That sounds pretty good to me, too. So assuming if silver goes down and if it goes up, great. You made money and ounces at the same time. So there are still things you can be doing in the precious metals right now, yeah, other than just hyper fixating on what's the dollar price, the price doing. Because, guys, you look at these charts, that dollar price is going to be all over the place. So find a different way to access it and take advantage of it. As always, and especially you out there listening, thank you for sticking with us this week. This has been Miles and Rob. We are Golden Rule Radio, brought to you by McIlvenny Precious Metals. You can find us at mcalvany.com, McIlvenny.com. And if you'd like to discuss your personal precious metals portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvenny Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.